Morning, guys. So I want to just apologize before I even start. I'm a bit of a walker, as you can see. So I do this, and it's not because I'm nervous. It's just a thing that I do. So I want to apologize. But firstly, to say that it's a privilege to be with you is an understatement of the year. I think for me, to even just be here and be allowed up here is just incredible. And do you know what's funny is this is my first preach in Josh Jen. And I was in Josh Jen for 12 years, and it's my first time up here sharing the word. So I'm doing this with a great expectancy for the Lord to do what He wants to do this morning. I realize once again how He wants to use every single member of His body in the way that He sees fit, and the only thing we need to do is say, "Okay, Lord, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with You using me. I'm fine with You doing what You want to do with me, and I'm going to step out." And the one common thread that just came through 4:12 and once again this morning, which I find amazing, I love when the Lord speaks continuously in a certain season, because it just confirms once again that our God is alive and He's busy doing stuff. He's being busy doing stuff with His body, with us as individuals. Yes? Yeah? And so one of the common threads that's been coming through is that the Lord is moving us to a place of abandoning ourselves in a new way. Letting go of us because He wants to be first. And so that's actually the title of my message this morning is, Lord, You first and me second. And Him first, me second also means You first and me second. You get that? It means that the person next to you is first and you are second. Because Jesus said, one of His last prayers, He prayed to the Father and He said, "Father, let them be one as I am, Father, let them be one as You are in me and I am in You." And then what did He say after that? He said, "So that the world may know that You've sent me." How beautiful is that? And once again this morning, I have this strong sense that the Lord is moving us as a body, but as individuals, to a greater level of abandoning ourselves and putting ourselves second and putting Him first. Because I believe what He wants to do with His body and with His church is far greater than us. It's far greater than what you've got. And so He doesn't need what you've got right now. He needs a surrender in you and an abandoning in you and a readiness to do what you can't do, so that He can actually do what He's asking you to do. You get what I'm saying? And so I was told to smile. So if I'm not smiling, smile at me and then I'll smile back at you. Okay. I'm by nature quite a serious guy. I don't mean to be. And I said this morning to, I think it was Nick, I said to him, "I really hope this is not going to be a heavy message, because I don't aim to be heavy. But somehow when the Lord speaks, it's not light." And so my hope is that as we're sharing some things that I believe is on the Lord's heart, that it's Him, firstly, and that it comes and penetrates our heart. So can I ask, just while I'm sharing, that your mind and your heart is so ready to say, "Lord, it's You first and me second." Because it needs to be received. I remember like it was yesterday, I got saved and in a church called Oxygen Life Church, and I saw there's some oaks from Oxygen here this morning. I got saved there, and I was in a church for 2 years, and as all good Christians do, we read our Bible. We read our Bible. We've got to read our Bible. And so often, I'd read things in my Bible, mostly in Acts 2, verse 42, and I'd read some stuff there, and then I'd look at the church that I'm a part of, and some stuff didn't line up. And it was weird. And it was like, "But Lord, can I give myself to this?" And so I continued to live a compromised life. Because I had given my heart to Jesus, but there was still a part of me that I want to give myself completely. I want to. But what I'm reading in my Bible and what I'm seeing fleshed out and where I am is just not the same. Has anybody ever felt like that? Only me. So I was always looking for this authentic thing, "Lord, but I'm reading, there's a devotion. They devoted themselves. I see people that did life together. Where is it, Lord?" because I was assigned a person to counsel me on every Wednesday for an hour, and I'm going to do a confession session, and that was the extent of fellowship. And I desired more. And Sherry and I were not married yet. We were not dating. We were courting, but we were dating because we're living a compromised life. And we always had this desire, Lord, we want to get it right, but we don't know how to do this. And I'll never forget, we walked through those doors. There were only two congregations in Josh Jen. And we were late for the meeting. That was the last time we were late. We were late for the meeting, and Andrew was up here, Andrew Selly, just giving it all. Vulnerable. Real. And we saw people that loved one another. And I remember Sherry and I, we just, after the meeting, we drove home and in tears. We didn't even talk. In tears, just going, God, we found it. We found what we were looking for 2 years. Ah, Lord, we found it. And I remember that was, and after that, we just gave ourselves to Josh Jen. We just, oh, Lord, this is it. I'll die for this thing. And the slogan of Josh Jen, if you didn't know it, it's dying to live. We were like, Lord, we'll die. I'll die. I'll come second. I want to live. Because we were so tired of what wasn't real, what wasn't authentic. And I don't know if any of you have experienced this, but it was wonderful until about 2, 3, 4 weeks in when people started inviting us around and having coffees and having meetings and like asking questions like, so tell me about this girlfriend of yours. What's going on there? Eric, you're laughing because you were one of those guys. And so what was amazing and life-giving, and I'm willing to die for this thing, all of a sudden became really uncomfortable. Because now it's getting real. Now it's real. Let me get to my notes. I have such a sense that, and what's beautiful for me this morning is I look across, and we were in this congregation for, my wife will correct my timeline, but we were here for 8 years. We were in the PM congregation for about, I think, 4 or 5 years. So we were in Josh Jen for, I think, 12 to 13 years. This is all I've ever known, growing up in Jesus. It's all I've ever known. Can I tell you something? It's the biggest privilege. It's the biggest thing I could ever have asked for. Because while being here and seeing leaders like Andrew and Mike Davies, and just guys that are vulnerable and real, imparting and equipping and teaching and living what they're preaching, I was being equipped without even knowing it, purely because I was positioning myself, as Acts 2:42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So I want to ask you this morning, there's a few things I'm going to hit, hopefully in love, hopefully you feel the love, I'll smile when I say them. There's a few things that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart, and maybe they are for you, maybe they're not. So just bear with me. I need to put a password in here. So I wonder maybe if we can put up this one scripture. I don't know when last you guys read this. Maybe some of you can recite it. I don't know. But Sabrina, if you can put it up, Acts 2:42. To 47, and I know you guys are going, Gerrit, come on. We read this last night. I read this last week. But let's read it anyway. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Can I stop there quickly? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. To the teaching of the apostles, not their understanding of the Bible. Now you all are going, whoa. I wonder how many of us devote ourselves first to our understanding of the word before the apostles' teaching. To those that have been set in place to instruct us. To teach us. To teach us the way of the word. How many of us are too ready to actually teach ourselves before those that have been placed above us to teach us? And equip us. We want to work out what the word says for ourselves, and we do it to such a degree that when the apostles teach, we fortify it in our own opinions. How many of us devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching first And please hear what I'm saying. We have to read the Word. You have to read the Bible. You have to know the Scriptures. But what do you devote yourself to? It's heavy already. Man. Sorry, Lon. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Picture this. Who wants that kind of church? Who wants that kind of life? That kind of devotion one to another? I've been through seasons in my life where, even within Josh Jen, this is thrown in front of us all the time because it's the model. It's the blueprint. It's what we're meant to be looking like. It's meant to be others look at us and they go, what is different about you? What is this? I believe the Lord added to them, not because they were preaching the gospel or constantly sharing the most profound messages, but because the people looked at a people and said, this is different. What is it about you? I want it. I want who you are. And I remember so often, because I'm quite a, like we heard those who were at the conference, I'm a Greek thinker. I'm not Greek, I'm Afrikaans. But that's how I think. So I think, okay, scripture, there we go, 6 points. Cool. I need to do these six things, because if I do them, this is who I'll be. Has anyone else ever thought that? And then now and then you just, let me just read the scripture and then the 6 notes that I made, and how am I doing in my 6 notes? How many have I ticked off this week? How devoted have I been to the apostles' teaching? How many times have I broken bread? Fellowshipped. Do you know what's incredible is every single time I've done that, I felt like I'm failing. It's too much. I can't do it. Would you agree with me if I said to you that that is actually bigger than you? It's bigger than you. You can't do it. But you can do it. And then what I'd love to do is look at something in verse 37. Just before you put it up, I want to set the platform here. So this was the day of Pentecost. And many of you know the story. Who doesn't know the story? Be brave. It's amazing. You all know your Bibles. Day of Pentecost. Holy Spirit falls. Tongues of fire. Different languages. The people are looking around. They're saying, what on earth is going on? What is this? What is going on? You can imagine. It must be chaos. And for the first time, Peter, who so many times before, he was close to Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. Although he denied him, he knew who he was. For the first time, after Jesus gave him a promise, he said to him, if you guys all remember, I didn't put the scripture up. Sorry, Sabrina. Jesus said to his disciples, who do the people say that I am? And they said, some say Elijah. Some say this, some say that. And Jesus said, but what about you? Who do you say I am? And they all just looked at him, except for Peter. Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He had a revelation, which was incredible. And then we all know the rest. Jesus said to Peter, you are rock, you are Peter, some translations. And on this rock, I will build my house, and the gates of Hades will not stand against it. Sorry, I'm messing it up. Yeah, that's right. And I'm going to give you the keys so that whatever you loose in heaven will be loosed and whatever you bind on earth will be bound. What a promise given by Jesus. Who would like that promise of your life? Come on. The very next verse almost, people say, Jesus says, I'm about to be crucified, and Peter steps in the way. He's like, no, Lord, never. He just recognized who Jesus was. It's not like he didn't know. And immediately he knows better than Jesus. How's that? So I'm going to get that back to the day of Pentecost now, but this is very key for us to hear. You see, when the disciples were on the beach and Jesus said, hey, come follow me. Leave all you have behind. Come follow me. It says they left their nets. Peter was one of them. See, Peter left his nets, but he didn't leave himself. He still had himself. So he left what he had, but not who he was. So the moments when there were times like this where Jesus says, who do you say I am? He's, I know who you are, Lord. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But then Jesus says, this needs to happen. And he says, no, Lord, because he still had himself. And the day of Pentecost comes, and for the first time, after Peter had denied Jesus, for the first time, he stands up and boldly says, these men are not drunk as you suppose. And he starts explaining to them what has just taken place. He starts explaining the gospel to them. He preaches the gospel with such conviction because it was the moment we had actually let go of himself. And the people start shouting out to him, Peter, what can we do to be saved? Peter, what can we do? And he said, you got to repent, get baptized, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart by the gospel. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And as we carry on, it says, he said, repent, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is what happened. And the Lord added to their number 3,000 that day. 3,000 were saved. Verse 42 comes, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread. Why? They were cut to the heart. There was a cutting of heart. They saw Jesus. They saw Jesus. Jesus was preached, and they saw him. You know, I was thinking just now in worship, I was looking around, and like, Mervis is here. I love Merv. Mark Davies is here. Lon's here. Martin's here. There's some heavy, Cliff's here. Some heavy hitters in the house. Did you guys realize that? Heavy hitters. This is amazing. Do you know what's more amazing? There are other Mervises sitting here. There are other Cliffs sitting here. Other Martins. Other Mark Davies. Other Lons. Do you know what we are needing as the church? We are needing to put yourself second and put Jesus first. So that the Martins among you and the Lons among you and the Mervises among you can emerge from within the church. And you know, I know we focus the whole conference. We're constantly focusing on, you've got to go. I know there's a huge drive on church planting at the moment, which is incredible. It's what's needed. The kingdom comes through the church. But some of us need to be resurrected into a new life within the church. Before we go, I love what that word that Mark shared earlier. Do you know that the scripture says that we, if we come to Christ, we share a crucifixion like his. It means we die to our old lives. We are dead. And then it says, if you share in a crucifixion like his, you also share in a resurrection like his. How many of us are stuck at the cross where we've died, but we haven't yet been resurrected into the new life, living a life worthy of the calling that we've received? We're still stuck at just, I need to die to my old life. And we're dealing with the same things over and over and over and over. We're stuck at dying. Jesus desires for us to live and live a life of abundance. And can I burst your bubble quickly? Life of abundance does not mean a nice car and a big house and fancy whatevers. And it doesn't mean that. It means that your life will be full of life, full of Jesus. Not full of you, full of Jesus. And I love, and please, when I share the story, please hear my heart, because I know I come across like I like myself. But this is not about me. I'm currently, in my life, 36 years old. I know, you wouldn't say. 36 years old, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm alive. I feel like I'm alive. Can I tell you something? For the first time in my life, I'm the most uncomfortable I've ever been. Every day of my life. Every morning I wake up and I'm like, oh Jesus, this is going to be uncomfortable. But it's full of life. And I want to be full of life. I don't want to be full of me. Do we want to be a part of what Jesus wants to do with his bride? Come on, do you want to be a part of what Jesus wants to do with his bride? Because he doesn't need you in your flesh. He needs you abandoned, poured out, so that he can call you into what's impossible. So that you can put your hand up in obedience, and he can do the rest. I haven't done anything on you. John 17:21, Serena, can I tell you a funny story? How long ago did we meet? Long ago. I've been doing that since I met her. So I'm sorry. I'm a slow learner. Sorry. To keep me humble. John 17:21 says that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Do you have any idea how big that is? Do you have any idea the power, the gospel preaching power there is in us being one? Who wants to preach the gospel? Come on, there's like at least three people. Who wants to preach the gospel? Who wants to see people radically changed and come to Jesus because of the way you live your life? Do that. Be one. Be one. I mean, it's actually radically simple, but incredibly difficult. And incredibly impossible. Because it's not comfortable to love you. It's not comfortable to open your home to people. Those that have hosted this week. It's not comfortable. It's not easy. It's not easy to devote ourselves constantly. The problem is, sometimes, we say this so much that we almost feel this heavy pressure. This should be easy. I don't think anywhere in Scripture does it say it's easy. But all over Scripture it says, you've got to die to self so that my body can be what it is meant to be. You've got to let go of you so that my body can be who it's meant to be. So that as I knit you together, you're a reflection of Jesus. How simple is that? But uncomfortable. Who wants to walk in the promises of Jesus for their lives? Do you know why I keep asking you questions? Because I think sometimes we think these things, but we don't claim them. Like, it's what I want. I want the promises of Jesus. I want to walk in them. Can I tell you something about comfort and uncomfort? Nadine and Milani were with us recently in Richards Bay, and they gave us this word. They said, oh, that's better. Is that better? I'll hold the mic properly. They gave us this word. They said, the Lord is going to move in and through you in places of uncomfort and discomfort. But you're going to become comfortable with being uncomfortable. What a cool word, but scary. Do you know that the same is true for you? Do you know that Jesus wants to use you? But you know that he's got nothing for you in your zones of comfort. There's nothing there for you. If you're comfortable and you want the promises of the Lord, the one's here and the one is very far away. What is the Lord asking you this morning to get uncomfortable in? And it's not for all to go and plant churches, as I said just now. For some, it's to position themselves before one another and say, brother, how can I serve you? I want the promises that are over my life, but you know what? You first, me second. What are the promises over your life? How can I lay my life down for that to take place in your life? Yeah. I feel like I'm rushing through this. I feel like I'm rushing through this, but I don't know if you know how big this is. So 3 years ago, the Lord spoke to my wife and I, and he said, Khaled, I want you to move to a little town. And we knew the Lord was moving us. At the same time, just before that, what we did hear the Lord say was, I want you to reposition your family. We knew there was a change coming. He said to us, I want you to reposition your family in a small community where you're going to have great influence. But it's going to be difficult. And so at the time, my dad had a house in Stellenbosch. He still has the house. He said to us, go and live in my house for free. It overlooks the vineyards. It's beautiful. I'll put your kids in the school. I'm going to help you buy a business. There's a Josh Jen there. We were like, Stellenbosch is small. It makes sense. Okay, cool, Lord. We'll do it. At the same time, we were on holiday in Richards Bay. And while we were there, Sherry and I were talking about this move we're going to make. We'd submitted it to the elders. We'd spoken to them because we don't make calls like that just on the whim. We submit our lives. And so we had done that. But we never had the faith to make that move to Stellenbosch. And so while we're in Richards Bay, a place for Vern and those guys that come from there, is Vernon here this morning? For the guys that come from there, I never liked going there. It is like small town, it wasn't cool. Like I was from Cape Town, I want to be here. And so every time I went there, I was like, I want to go back to Cape Town. And so while we're driving around in Richards Bay, sorry. While we're driving around in Richards Bay, the Lord starts speaking and he's stirring something in my heart. And I'm like, oh Lord, what is going on? And I drove with Sherry back from somewhere and I said to her, babe, I feel like, I'm going to get emotional. I feel like the Lord's moving us here. And we didn't understand why. Like it made no sense. And you know, one of the ways the Lord confirmed that it was him is we were in one of the roughest parts of town. I'm not going to say where it is. And there's a spa there. And so you guys might know where it is. There's a spa there. And the people, they've had a hard life. And they're coming out the store. And I look at one of them. And it's like my heart leaps for this person. For the first time ever, I look at this person. I'm like, oh, Lord. And I was like, oh, Jesus, what are you doing? Because now I don't want to go home. And I shared it with Sherry, and we just knew. We knew the Lord was moving us. And can I tell you, nothing about that was comfortable. We left 10 years of friendships behind. No security of what was going on, but we had a faith of what Jesus wanted us to do next. For some of you, it's not moving towns. For some of you, the faith is as big as saying, I'm going to open my house this weekend to receive some people I've never seen in my life. For some of you, it's bringing a word when there's a word. For some of you, it's actually witnessing to that colleague at work. For some of you, it's displaying love as opposed to your opinion. Sure. Because the Bible didn't say, Jesus didn't say, by your wisdom one to another, the world will know that you are my disciple. The Bible says, by your love one for another, the world will know that you are my disciples. What is the Lord asking you to step out in faith with this morning? What is he asking you to be uncomfortable with and in? My life is not my own. My life is not my own. It belongs to him. And it belongs to you. It's easy for us to say, my life belongs to Jesus. Is it easy for you to say, my life belongs to my brother? It's very quiet. But think about it. You want to live in this way? Abandon yourself. Give up your life for him. So that you can easily give your life for your brother. I wrote some pills of wisdom down here. I just can't find them now. I was well prepared. One thing I want to touch on before I end, and almost at my end, I want to respect the time and I want to respect your time. One thing I want to ask you is, when the people looked at the Church of Acts, what they saw was a people that were devoted, given themselves, absolutely surrendered. It's what they were known for. It's what they were known for. What are you known for? When people look at you, what is your identity? Josh Jane, Sunningdale AM, what is your identity? When people look at you, what do they see? Do they see a people devoted, abandoned, surrendered, cut to the heart for Jesus? As individuals, when someone looks at you, what do they see? Do they see the businessman that makes truckloads of money? He tithes big. He drives a lacquer car. He can host lots of people in his house. Is that your identity? The teachers, your ability to teach, worship leaders, your talent to worship. And I'm touching on gifts here. Those that are hospitable. Is your identity the fact that you are able to host? Is it your identity? For me, can I tell you how I had to wrestle this thing through? I had to recently go, Lord, is my identity the fact that I lead a church? Is it my identity? And I thought, Lord, I want to wake up and I want to be known as Gerrit, abandoned, faithful, loving Jesus, laying down his life, serving others, putting himself second and others first. And he also leads a church. Don't you want to be known as Jesus-loving, God-fearing, people-loving? Oh, and you're also a teacher. What is your identity? I felt this, I don't know why. And so I submit this to you, Lon. I felt for fathers and husbands. As men, we want to conquer, we want to count, we want to stand out for Jesus. Yes? I want to count for Jesus. I want to stand out in his house. I felt the Lord ask you, men, do you want to stand out in his bride? Do you want to count for his bride? What has the Lord told you about your bride? Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Are you able to give yourself up for your bride? Your first bride, that's my bride. I give myself up for her. That's what the Bible says. Before I try and count in the church and do what Jesus, I need to give myself up for her, love her. As Christ loved the church, laying down his life for her. The other thing I wanted to touch on very quickly is verse 42 says they devoted themselves. Can I submit to you this morning that attending and devoting are two different things? I believe this morning the Lord's asking some of you to start devoting yourself and stop attending. He's asking for a people of devotion. A people of devotion is what will change the world. A people of devotion is what the world will see and be drawn to. And the Lord adds to your number daily, those being saved. He's asking you this morning, what is keeping you from being devoted? Is it the promise that's been spoken over your life? Can I tell you that your wanting to count can become an idol? Because Jesus counts first. Your promise over your life second. If you're not able to lay down your life, you'll never walk in the promises that Jesus has got for you. I think some of us have made the promises of God our idol. I had a prop which didn't work out this morning, unfortunately, but a while ago I used a puzzle as an illustration. I'm ending with this. I used a puzzle, and as you know, puzzles have many different pieces. Don't steal my illustration, okay, just because I didn't do it this morning. I want to trademark it, if you think it's good. It's a puzzle, and as we all know, a puzzle has a picture on the front that we need to refer to constantly. What is it supposed to look like? Where do the pieces go? Each one of us, the Bible says, we are different parts that make up one body. We are all unique. We all look different, but we all fit. Every single one. The biggest challenge is that as individuals, we often want to fit in a different place to where the Lord has asked us to. Because we think that place is more important and it's better. But a puzzle piece can only fit in one place. And so the job of your elders and your leaders is to help you see the picture, Acts 2:42, the model of what it should look like, and come to you and say, I think you fit here, but I need you to be available in order for me to put you there. Because if you're constantly trying to fit yourself somewhere else, we're never going to be able to help you fit where you're supposed to fit. And the picture will be incomplete. I believe for some of us this morning, the Lord is saying, you know where I want you, but you're trying to be somewhere else. And the picture is incomplete without you. I think the Lord's asking you to submit yourself back to your leaders and saying, show me where I fit. Help me. Surrender yourself into the hands of those that are placed over you, devoting yourself to their teaching. I don't know where you want to end this, Richard. I wonder, for me, this journey started by realizing once again, and daily, and weekly, how much this is impossible. How much this is impossible in me. I love how often a moment before the Lord asks me to do something, I feel the most ill-equipped. You feeling equipped has nothing to do with whether the Lord can do it or not. I'm living proof of that. When the Lord asked me to plant a church, I actually said to Andrew, hey, who are you guys going to send? We're about to plant our second congregation next weekend. Would you guys pray for us? I want to ask that you guys pray for us, please. It's our second congregation. I said to the guys, it's ridiculous. I feel as scared as I did the first time the Lord asked us to plant. But I love it because I've become comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because in me, I'm not figuring it out. He's doing it. I'm just doing this. That's awesome. I don't know where you want to land, Richard.
Thank you. I think the Lord has actually spoken quite clearly and quite uncomfortably to a number of us who are feeling very comfortable. And if I may pick up on what you've shared, I'm sensing that some of us here are actually holding back the rest. If Richards Bay can plant another congregation in 2 years' time, just imagine what the Lord can do through us. But if you're looking for this place of comfort, and if you're looking to warm a chair on a Sunday without really getting stuck in, without really dying to self and saying, I'm available, whatever the Lord calls me to do, then we become truly one body. And then we can truly move together. And that is what the Lord wants. If I hear what you're saying, are we all devoted? Or is some of us devoted? And how can we spur one another on to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, the breaking of bread and to prayer? So I think this is actually quite a stirring word. It's not to condemn us, but to say, if there are things in your lives that are holding you back from being devoted, then today is the day to do something about it. And even in the prayer meeting, Kekwing reminded me, there was also a call to repentance. Repentance is not condemnation. It's not the Lord putting you down, but it's to say, I'm pointing some things out in your life that are holding you back. And if they're holding you back and you don't do anything with it, that will hold us all back. Because we are one body. We're part of the Lord's family. So I want to take some time. First, just between you and the Lord. I'm going to take a few minutes. And just let this settle in your heart. And ask the Lord, what is it, Lord? What is it in me that is causing this whole church to be held back? We're talking about the Lord wants us to go into the more. And he's got more for us, but more for all of us. So let's take a few minutes. And if you know that there are things you need to put right, right with other members in the church, if you know that there are things you need to put right with God, if you know that you've been holding back joining a com, whilst you're part of the church, but you don't want to commit yourself, well, you're not devoted. If you know that today is the day that you need to say, I need to make a change in my life because I too need to be devoted, I challenge you to stand up and to come forward so we can pray with you. Let today be the day that you put things right. If that is you, I challenge you, stand up and come forward. We'll pray for you. This is the day where you know you need to put your devotion where the Lord wants it to be. You need to be devoted to, in a way, to say, yes, I want to die in order to live. Don't hold back. Today things can change for you, and if they change for you, they'll change for all of us. Jenny had a word during the worship time and says, I'm just sensing that there's just these two opposites. It's life or death. It's light or darkness. It's saved or not saved. It's coming to Jesus or walking away. That's what Gerrit has been talking about. It's the Lord calling you. Don't hold back. It's the Lord calling you, put things right. Put things right today. Then we can move forward as one people, devoted to the Lord, devoted to His teaching, devoted to one another. The Lord has challenged us to be devoted for one another. Please, where you are, pray for the people who have come forward. Just pray for them. Don't let this time be wasted. Draw them through your prayer, draw them into the fold.